Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETBs for their education and training service, supporting essential communication and customer service skills for a more sustainable business.
Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. You're welcome to Business Matters. Later in the podcast, I'll be talking coaches, tours and cruises with James McGinley, owner of the McGinley Travel Group based in Maharoti. First up is our Backing Business segment, and joining me this week is Michael Tunney, Head of Enterprise at the Donegal Local Enterprise Office. Michael, thanks for taking the time to talk to us on Business Matters.
Thank you very much, Kieran. Delighted to be here.
Michael, we're going to talk about Donegal Ski Lakes, the latest initiative from the Donegal Local Enterprise Office. What is Ski Lakes and who is eligible?
Okay, well, what it is, Kieran, it's a new technology accelerator program for anybody in Donegal or anybody wishing to come and, I suppose, scale and grow their business in Donegal. The reason we're doing it, Kieran, is we've identified really we have a lack of, I suppose, ambitious technology-based startups in the county, and we need to try and address that issue. Last year, we ran a pre-accelerator for female entrepreneurs, and it was very successful. So this is aimed at anybody out there which has a kind of a technology-based or a technology-oriented startup idea, whether it be that's in healthcare or fintech or engineering or medical devices, or, you know, we're not excluding anybody or any sector, but we're just saying it has to be sort of that technology-based and has the ability to grow and scale a business. So it's a 12-week program, and it's open to anybody. We're open here to anybody in our diaspora. So if anybody out there listening and they have a son, a daughter, an uncle, an aunt who's overseas, and I had just an email this morning from somebody saying, look, I have two brothers working in Canada, one in Canada, one in Australia. You know, this would be ideal for them. You know, how do they apply? So, you know, pass it on, and it's through our website, localenterpriseoffice.ie, or even if they just Google ScaleX or contact anybody here in the local enterprise office.
Yeah. You mentioned about a dozen or so sessions scheduled, Michael, from June to September.
Yeah.
How will those be delivered, and can you talk to me about those sessions?
So it's a 12-week program. It'll be sort of, if you got your vaccine to start of it, you can get the follow-up at the end of it. It's roughly once a week, and in between then there will be one-to-one mentoring sessions, and each session will be slightly different because we'll also be drawing on the experience of people who have done this before. So it'll be run over that, I suppose, 3-4 month period, and it'll be all online, obviously in the current context, all online, and we've developed a virtual classroom website for this, so hopefully it'll be a bit more engaging as well in the standard, you know, the online kind of system. So it's virtual, that's why it's open, then it's open to everybody, and we're looking at the possibilities maybe of being able to recording it and making it available to people who may not, if they're different time zones or significantly time zoned out with ourselves, you know, the 9 or 10 hours may not make sense. So, it worked before, Kieran. I think it's the way we're going to go. We're going to be probably even after COVID, it's going to be virtual and a marriage of virtual and in the classroom. But we're kind of excited about it. But obviously, we need we need to get as many applications in by the 24th of May. But it's a rolling process. So if somebody applies, we'll be making contact with them, and journey partners who are delivering the program along with us, they'll be making contact and having that one-to-one discussions with the applicants as well.
Is this in direct response to COVID-19, Michael, or is it something that was in the pipeline anyway?
It was in the pipeline anyway. We've been talking about it internally here for the last couple of years. I think what's really, I suppose, drawn it to our attention here now big time is we're also getting some strategic work being done at the moment around an enterprise plan, sort of a 10-year enterprise plan for the county. And like when we look at some of the figures, you know, and that's coming out of that, there are some, I suppose it's really highlighting that Donegal, by way of enterprise development, you know, where we've been doing things, we're really just been peddling to keep still, and other counties have moved on. And the biggest thing that I would have noticed over the years, and I've been always saying that, you know, while we get a continuous flow of startups and business expanding, the door ain't been knocked down. So, like, we just need more people in that space so we get a good, strong base of Indigenous businesses that can grow and then are exporting and scaling. And that's the challenge. And this is why we kind of broaden the net, going out to our diaspora, going out to anybody, but it's all on the basis that if you want to come back, if you're willing to consider coming back, scaling your business from Donegal, we'll take you on the program.
Have you detected that there is a bigger uptick or a bigger interest for people to relocate and come back home, Michael, over the last number of months?
Yeah, look, there's there's some anecdotal stuff we're hearing. You know, you'll hear from auctioneers about the interest in housing and accommodation. Like, and I know from my extended family, I know there's one or two nephews considering it, like, you know, coming back and working remotely in Donegal as opposed to overseas. But we haven't seen it in the enterprise side of things. You know, like somebody moves back to work in Donegal, but their job is in London or Paris or Dublin or Cork or Galway, the benefit really is to the county is that person's salary now is coming to the county. And that's great. But from the point of view where we sit and the point of view of enterprise, we need the businesses to be coming here and setting up, not just the employees to be based here. So that's kind of why we're pushing. And I think we'll be looking here from now on, Kieran, as well as doing your standard start your own business programs, because they address a certain cohort and an audience there and a demand. These accelerators, I think we'll be trying to maybe run more of these, and particularly plugging them into particular sectors to try and just get that flow of technology, scalable businesses in various sectors in the county for the years to come.
In relation to ScaleX, what is the closing date, Michael?
The closing date is the 24th of May. 12 noon and 24th of May.
And how do people apply?
People can log on to localenterprise.ie/Donegal and they'll get the information there on ScaleX. Or if you just want to, if they want to contact the local enterprise office by email or telephone, again, on our website. You know, myself, Brenda, or Ivan, any one of us.
And finally, Michael, before I let you go, as a major relaxation, I suppose, of the COVID-19 restrictions after 5 extremely long months of lockdown begins this week, have you detected a new sense of hope and optimism among the business sector locally?
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, if you talk to them and read them, I mean, they're just looking forward to get back into business. I mean, particularly last year was such a great summer for particularly the hospitality and the tourism and the food services and all that, you know, that would be, just hope we can have that kind of a similar summer. And as the vaccine rolls out now, people will be doing it knowing that hopefully that, you know, as the vaccine rolls out and hopefully as the weather gets better and more people come, you know, that we'll continue to look forward as opposed to looking back. But yeah, definitely there's much more hope, I think, and a stronger hope. I mean, we were just talking this morning here, Kieran, you know, last year when we talked about, you know, when we have a party and we thought it would be like 2 weeks or 2 months down the road, we never thought it might be like 16 or 18 months down the road or 20 months down the road. So yeah, no, I think it's positive. But again, I'd have to say, Kieran, a lot of the manufacturing businesses that we deal with, you know, they've been able to work through the whole COVID situation and have had a reasonably good year, irrespective of COVID. So, because we looked at some figures, some like just analysed figures around 50 of our core clients, and it's very positive from the point of view of the county. So, you know, again, emphasising that need of just have a more of a manufacturing and technology base as well to complement the services, we'll have a much stronger economy into the future.
Michael Tunney, Head of Enterprise at the Donegal Local Enterprise Office, thanks for talking to us on Business Matters. Still to come, we'll be catching up with James McGinley, owner of McGinley Travel Group.
Are you confused about using social media for your business? Donegal ETB's Further Education and Training Service can provide you with introductory training. Contact Enterprise Engagement at donegaletb.ie or call 07491 20500.
You're welcome back. I'm delighted to be joined on Business Matters by James McGinley, owner of McGinley Travel Group in Mayoralty. James, you're welcome to Business Matters.
Thank you very much.
James, we're sitting in the first floor of the newly built premises here in Mayoralty. Before we went on air, you were taking a call from one of your drivers, so there's no off time when you're the boss in this game, James.
There is not, unfortunately. The transport business is a 24-hour. It's from early in the morning to late at evening. And as I said, I suppose if anything good came out of COVID at all, it's that we've learned to have a wee bit more free time. But no, the transport business is 24-7. It's from early in the morning to late at night. And you have to be ready to take a call at anytime.
You were saying you're an early in the morning person. That's something you enjoy?
It is. I am an early in the morning. I love nothing better than being up early. As I said, we're based here in Mayoralty, and you know we have a beautiful golden beach down below us, and there's nothing nicer than walking there as the sun is rising and the birds starting to sing. It's a great start of the morning, and I love it.
James, on the way in, I noticed above the door there are three parts to the business: coach travel, tour operator, and cruise holidays. So we'll break those down, if you don't mind, and talk about those parts of the business individually. Coach travel, That was the first part of the business. Who set up McGinley Coaches, and when did that happen?
So McGinley Coach Travel was started off by my dad, John McGinley. Started in the late 60s. I suppose he was a bit of an entrepreneur and had tried many things, and was taxiing and bringing, I suppose, people to dances and the likes of the time, and maybe a group going down to Knock or the likes of that. And then what was a big part of the time was there was a huge connection between Donegal and Glasgow at the time. A lot of people had emigrated to Glasgow, had travelled through the dairy boat. So a lot of those people would have needed transport from here, and he'll tell us stories about being waiting at the chapel gate on a Sunday. That's how they got their bookings back then. There was no emails or the likes of that, so they would wait and get their bookings for who was coming or going or getting letters. And so that was kind of bringing people to the dairy boat. And then the dairy boat was stopped running, and it was from Larne to Cairnryan. And unfortunately, I suppose, or luckily for him, but the dairy boat went all the way to Glasgow. But when people had to go to Cairnryan, they had to then get on to Glasgow. So a service kind of started that went all the way from Donegal all the way to Glasgow. And that was something that a lot of the coach operators in Donegal started off at. And at the time, it was a huge... there was huge movement of people on that route. I suppose there was no low-cost airlines or anything in those days. So as people came back from Scotland for weddings and wakes and to visit family, and, you know, as I said, there was a lot of movement in both directions. So that was a huge part of the business then.
Was it a gradual build-up of business over the years, and did the fleet build over time?
It was. I suppose in the earlier days, it was more smaller buses. I think the first larger coach didn't arrive until the late 70s. I became involved in the business myself in the late 80s after I left school and came in, although as I suppose I could nearly say that I was involved much earlier. As soon as my feet could reach the pedals, I was driving buses around the yard and washing and all of that. So I suppose I was at it from a young age. But I got more seriously involved, and so it has been a gradual... we have expanded gradually. As I said, different things were added with the service to Dublin. These days is a huge part of the business, I suppose, our bread and butter. That was started in the late 80s, and still is a large part. We cover a huge part of Donegal. We offer services from the Inchon Peninsula, Mavill, and on through Derry to Dublin, and then from West Donegal here, from Annagree and Gidore and Clonealy, and on to Dublin. So that is a huge part of the business. And again, pre-COVID, when, you know, loads of students were travelling, you know, there would have been a huge fleet of vehicles leaving the county every Sunday night, travelling to Dublin and back again the following Friday.
You mentioned you've been involved since your foot could reach the pedal. Can you remember your first time that you took one bus away yourself for your first solo run?
Officially or non-officially?
Both. Well, take the unofficial one, it's even better.
No, what do you call it? I probably do. I remember on the street with my dad, as I said, sitting on his knee and, you know, trying to reverse a coach, and him telling me to let the clutch up slowly as I was. That's my first memory of actually being sitting behind the wheel. But as soon as you can't get your coach license till you're 21. So as soon as I was 21, I had the license. Within a couple of weeks, all the paperwork was ready the night before my 21st birthday, so that it was in the post the following day. But it was a great experience getting out on the road for the first time. So that's the official story anyway.
I'm sure you've noticed a lot of changes over the last number of years, particularly in terms of types of coaches and types of fleets.
Oh, a massive change altogether. You know, it's night and day. I mean, I suppose we went from the physical changes first, you know, from having coaches with springs and all of that, to moving on to airbags and, you know, being more safer seat belts and all of that. And then tachographs, the you know, watching the driver's hours and all of those things now have become digital. You know, there was a time where you would have seen the drivers with the little white sheets, putting the sheets in. Now it's, you know, just a digi card, like your credit card, that records all the hours. And so there's a lot of watching, keeping driving hours right. I mean, you know, people wouldn't believe it, but I mean, for example, Sunday evening there, when we have that fleet of coaches going up on a Sunday evening, we'd have a couple of spare drivers travelling as well to relieve drivers along the route. You know, that's how tight the whole thing is. And but no, a lot of changes to especially in the technology end, and obviously emissions and all of that. I mean, years ago, the old buses, there were, you know, big black soot coming out of them as they were going, whereas nowadays we could have a couple of coaches sitting in the garage now, sitting ticking over, and you wouldn't even know that, you know, they've become much, much cleaner, and emissions is low. You know, these Euro 6 engines now, they're as clean as you can get.
I know you added a number of quality coaches to your fleet, James, a number of years back. Talk to me about the fleet, the size of your fleet, and what that includes.
So at the moment we operate about 25 vehicles. Most of those are larger vehicles, but we do have a small few minibuses from 16 seats upwards, 16, 29, 53, and our largest coach at the moment is a 65-seater. So kind of across the whole spectrum of sizes. Mostly operating Volvo. We're very fond of our Volvos, and they perform very well for us.
Talk to me about the building that has just been recently constructed, the one run now.
So we've just actually moved in the last couple of months. So you know, as I said, over the years the business developed and changed. I mean, back in my early days, the office was my mother's kitchen, and you know, the book in the corner and the phone. And as I said, over the years, then things changed, and you know, then it became my mother's back bedroom for a while. And so as I said, it got to the stage that, you know, I talked earlier about, you know, all the legislation and regulations. So I mean, there was a lot of paperwork, a lot of watching and everything. So we knew we had to expand and kind of, I suppose, invest in the business. And it's probably been on the go for about 3 years, because first of all, getting planning, and then the site itself is, as you can see, into the side of the mountain. So there was a lot of digging and all of that. And so work started a couple of years ago. A local contractor, it was Noel T's Construction, which I have to say, you know, done a fabulous job. And we have a fabulous facility here now. Our workshops for our coaches, they're, you know, the workshops are state of the art. We have, while we don't do any MOT or CVRT testing, the workshop itself is to that spec. We have our brake testers, or you know, everything is to that spec. We have our own paint bay and wash bay and valeting, and then we've got the office complex here, kind of, that has canteens for drivers and mechanics, and has the you know, the area for administration, all of that. So no, it's we're delighted with how it's turned out. It's fabulous building to bring people into, and to meet customers and all of that. So looking forward, I suppose, to getting rid of the old COVID and getting back using the staff at the moment are kind of somewhere working from home, and it's not the way it should be. So looking forward to getting going properly.
Before we do look forward, James, can we just take a step back and talk to me about the impact COVID had on your business?
Oh, well, COVID has had a major impact on the business. I mean, last March, everything came to a halt. Our service to Dublin came to a halt. Unbelievable, I suppose. What going into the busiest time of the year, April, May, June, when, you know, we should have been screaming out looking for coaches. And last May and June, you know, we were sitting with a yard full of coaches looking out of them. So it had a major impact, I mean, from the coaches and the holidays and the cruises and everything that we'd done. I mean, as I said, it was just basically a break wall, just everything came to a halt. And you know, for you're worried about ourselves, of course, in our own business, but then, you know, your drivers and your families, and you know, so it was a worrying time for everybody. But thankfully, I suppose the future is looking a wee bit brighter. You know, if the vaccinations keep going at the pace they're going, you know, the future is looking much brighter. And although holidays haven't started yet, but you know, the green shoots are there. And you know, as I said, I think it's only a matter of time. Hoping that it's only a matter of time anyway, until we get back to where we were.
We talked about the coast travel part of your business, James. Talk to me a wee bit more about the tour operator side of it.
So the tour operating side then, our coach holidays and the likes, that kind of, I suppose, if we went back about 20 years ago then, I had about 10 years done, you know, helping my father and you know, getting the business to where we were going. But I suppose boredom set in a wee bit, and I was kind of wanting to try something new. And I was seeing, especially in the UK, a lot of the UK coach companies, you know, coach holidays was a big part of that, and you were always aspiring to have newer coaches and better coaches and that. So we got involved in coach holidays just over 20 years ago, and we'd actually be better known outside the county for our coach holidays than we would be in Donegal itself. We wouldn't actually sell that many in Donegal. Most of our holidays are actually sold in the cities in Dublin, Galway, Cork and around the country, and then we bring them on holidays to, well, Donegal actually is our most popular destination. You know, we'd be from about March to October each year. We could have a couple of coaches in Donegal every week with coach holidays. But we do go everywhere. We go across to the UK and Scotland, and then we also do air holidays where we fly people out and hire coaches in Spain and Italy and places like that as well. So that was a huge part of the business as well prior to COVID. You know, we could have had anything up to 12, 14 coaches out every week on coach tours. So that was a part of the business that had expanded and took off very much in recent years.
And the cruise holidays?
The cruise holidays then, I suppose, was started by accident, I suppose, about 10 years ago. Well, actually, more, a little bit more than 10 years ago, a few of our coach holiday passengers were asking, they were explaining that, you know, if they wanted to go on a cruise holiday, they couldn't do it from Ireland. They had to fly to Barcelona or fly to Southampton or somewhere like that to get a coach holiday or a cruise holiday. There were none of those leaving from Ireland. And when we'd done a wee bit of research, we found that there was no such thing as a no-fly cruise from Ireland. So that year, we actually, as people went on their coach holidays, we sent little flyers with the drivers, and we got everybody to fill in a wee questionnaire to see if they'd be interested in a cruise from home. And we got a great response. There was nearly everybody was ready to go on a cruise. So we'd done a little bit of research into it. We had met people from a cruise company in England, Fred Olsen Cruise Lines. We met them at a show previously and had spoke to them. So basically in 2001, 10 years ago, we ended up chartering a ship from Fred Olsen. And that was a huge deal for us.
That must have been a big undertaking.
It was a massive undertaking. The cost of the charter was $1.5 million at the time. That was paid in stages, and you know, it was, but we had the homework done. We had, you know, all these questionnaires sent to customers we knew, so we had sent them the itinerary, the cost and everything, and they kind of, we were fairly confident. So actually when we launched it, we launched it 2 years earlier, because all these things happen, you know, quite a bit beforehand. And we launched it 2 years earlier, and I think in the first week we sold 300 spaces, and you know, basically we had it sold out a year in advance, and the cruise went ahead. It was a fabulous success altogether. We had people from all over the country, but it was very much our own personal cruise. I mean, we brought the entertainment, we brought our own music bands, we brought the priest, we brought the minister, we took
every village,
we moved the village, we done everything, and brought, I mean, all the staff in the ship. We brought county T-shirts for everybody. So there was Cork and Kerry and Donegal T-shirts around, and, you know, we had the staff. So that was, you know, how it all started.
Right. So how much planning went into that, James? Because something like that, on a success like that, just didn't happen by accident.
No, the massive, as I said, about two. Now, in all fairness, the cruise company had done a lot of the work, but we obviously had to we had to look after the marketing and the sales and all of that. But we also actually were heavily involved in the itinerary. We went down the coast of Spain, Portugal, as far as Gibraltar at the time, and So there was a good bit of which ports we want to call into and all of that. So it went very well. And again, as we were coming back from that particular cruise, people were saying to us, oh, we want to do it again, you know, and when are you going to do it again? So, and then the cruise company were actually keen for us to do it again because it was a great cruise from them. I think they had the highest yielding bar and the highest yielding duty free and the highest yielding shore excursion. So we were a great bit of business for them. So we decided that we'd do it again. The next available ship that we could get was in 2013, 2 years later. But we found that sales weren't as good. We went to advertise to the people, and the people that said that, you know, they were going to go again, some of them did, but some of them said, well, something has come up. So we actually had to advertise the second time around, but we sold it out easily as well. And, you know, I suppose that kind of left us in no doubt that there was a market for that in the country. We were the only company doing a so-called no-fly cruise leaving from Dublin at the time. So that kind of progressed on. We were approached then by a new cruise company that had started up a few years earlier. And again, in business, you know, you can do your best at anything, but a lot of it is down to luck, you know, being in the right place at the right time. And luckily for us, a customer that had been with us on the two cruises, a nephew of hers was working for this particular cruise company in England, and they heard about us and they approached us. Now, at the time, we were kind of tied up with the first company, Fred Olsen. So kind of we didn't do anything initially, but two of the directors of the company actually landed in Donegal, flew into Carrickfinn and came here and spent a weekend with us, and I suppose made an offer that I couldn't refuse. So we represented, they were called Cruise and Maritime Voyages. We represented Cruise and Maritime Voyages in Ireland from 2016 onwards. And it went from success to success. We had 120 travel agents around the country selling the holidays, selling these cruise holidays for us. We brought people in from the States that flew into Ireland and took these cruises. And it was becoming a bigger part of the business even than the coach company. And all of that, and that's where we were seeing major growth.
So that change was a major game changer for you.
That was really. I mean, and I suppose that's what even, you know, this building that we're in. You know, that was you know, we needed space for people to answer phones and needed space for everything. As I said, you know, that really became a game changer for us, and that was going brilliantly again until you know, we had for 2020 we had our highest we had over 5,000 people booked when COVID hit, and unfortunately everything came to a stop. You know, cruises stopped sailing, and they got bad press, I suppose, initially as well. You know, they were, you know, people didn't know that much about COVID, and you know, it was kind of associated to the but even sadder than that, then the actual cruise company that we were involved with, Cruise and Maritime Voyages, they actually, because they were off and they had invested heavily in their company, they actually went into receivership into administration in the UK and ended up being wound up. So they're actually gone out of the landscape altogether. So as I said, that part was a bit disappointing because we got to know them very well, and you know, we were part of their family. You know, as I said, we represented them here, and so that was a massive change. But thankfully for our customers, you know, nobody was affected. Everybody got their money back, and you know, everybody, there was nobody hurt out of it, as I said. So I suppose moving on, you know, it's for a while afterwards, you know, as in the last year, you know, none of us really knew where we were going or what the future held, and for cruising in particular, you know. So we kind of threaded very carefully, but I'm delighted to say that within the next few days that we're about to make a major announcement. We've got a new cruise partner, and as I said, I just can't say too much just yet, but in the next couple of days we're sending out the first announcements, and we hope to be back in the cruise game in 2022 again. So as I said,
a significant announcement, James.
That's a significant announcement. As I said, it's something that we've been working with It's actually a completely new startup. It's a new cruise company that isn't yet in existence. That's starting up in the next couple of weeks. And as I said, we're very much involved with this particular company and with them from the beginning.
So, with the coast tour, the tour operator, and the cruise holidays, how do you see rephasing back into business again as the country opens up now over the next number of weeks?
Well, I suppose the coaches are still working. Our service to and from Dublin recommenced last October. We are travelling up and down the road. Numbers are very, very quiet. We can only carry 25% in the coach, so we're less than 20 passengers on all of the coaches anyway. That's actually changing just this week to 50%, so we're able to take half a load. So that'll be a great help to us, because trying to manage 25% is impossible, even with bookings or a couple of families and you're nearly full. So we're seeing that students, if vaccines keep going as they are, and the future is looking brighter. I mean, I'd say that'll probably be the first part of the business to kind of start to see growth again, as numbers will start coming back travelling to Dublin. The coach holidays, as I said, we haven't brought out any brochures this year yet, but we're just kind of ready to put our finger on the button as well. I mean, I suppose we were holding off. It's kind of nearly catching up on us, to be honest with you. I suppose a couple of months ago, you would have thought that nothing was going to happen this year at all, and that 2022 or 2021 was going to be a wipeout as well. But indications are that the summer, certainly for staycations, that the summer is going to start now. We tend to avoid July and August because usually hotels are too expensive with families. So the shoulder seasons is what we usually specialize in, which is kind of September, October. So that's actually a nice time for us. So it's given us a wee bit of a lead up time to get organized. So we're hoping that that part of the business can start up to a small, lesser degree anyway, I suppose, get our foot under the water and get started anyway. And then, as I said, with the cruise, well, obviously, there's no cruising this year, but as I said, we are making a huge announcement in the next week, and as I said, so we're very excited about that, because that was such a big part of our business up until COVID hit, and so we're excited about that again and getting going at that particular end again.
James, you're extremely upbeat about the future. The fact that you've built a brand new state-of-the-art building, do you get the sense of a new beginning for yourself and your staff and your team as well?
Very much so. I'm always a very optimistic person anyway. The glass is always half full with me. I'm maybe too optimistic at times. But no, I mean, it's coming into the new office, it's a breath of fresh air for us. We've got space, we've got big glass windows and able to look out at that golden Maharoti beach, or as I said, you'd nearly want to come into work for it,
You wouldn't get tired looking at it.
I think those coaches have the best views in Ireland.
Have you talked to your colleagues down the country or in other countries, James, and what sort of feedback have you got from them?
We have an organisation in Ireland, the Coach Tourism and Transport Council, and that's the representative body for the coach industry in Ireland. And I'm actually heavily involved in that organisation for my troubles. I was chairman of the organisation for 5 years. I stood down from that about 4 years ago, but I still sit on the executive, and we're still taking up a lot of our time. We would have, we meet a couple of times every week, so that organization, we're doing a lot of lobbying at government to help in different things, and to just kind of try and keep us in the fore, and that we don't get left behind as things do open up. So we're constantly talking to our colleagues right around the country, and it's a great group, and it's a great way to stay in touch.
Is there one issue of pressing importance that's on the agenda at the minute?
Well, I suppose it's just everything in general. I mean, I suppose even talking about, you know, the capacity on the coaches, that's a huge issue for us. I mean, even for the coach holidays, having 25 in a coach, you know, isn't really viable. Coach to Dublin, 25 is not really viable. So, but at the same time, we appreciate that, you know, we have to tread very carefully. I mean, we're just coming out of this thing and, you know, we can't see every, you know, at the numbers going in the wrong direction again. So we appreciate where everything's coming from. But, you know, the problem, I suppose, that our industry has, unlike, you know, hotels, I mean, COVID has set everybody badly. But the difference between our industry and hotels and all of that is that the value of our assets has been depleting. I mean, a hotel closed up, you know, they can come back and give it a lick of paint and they're going again. Whereas our coaches, you know, they're all going to be 2 years older when all this is over. They're going to be 2 years older when we start making money again. And unfortunately, that's 2 years that we're never going to get back. So, you know, a lifespan of a coach, you know, they start off, they're usually used for frontline tour work and, you know, up and down to Dublin. But, you know, the 20 years is probably the lifespan. By 20 years, it's been on school runs for 5 or 6 years. And, you know, it's a short life span, and you know the early years are the important ones, and most of our fleet are relatively new, so you know those are the, you know, lots of good years that we've lost out on, and you know that'll take a lot of clawing back.
What do you attribute the success of McGinley Coach?
I suppose, well, I don't put it down to one thing, but, you know, first and foremost, one of the huge things that I put it down is down to our workforce, and in particular our drivers. I mean, as I said, people, we can buy the best coaches that are going, we can, you know, run the best service we can to Dublin, but when that coach leaves the yard in the morning and a driver's in front of it, I mean, it's the way that driver treats his passengers, you know, performs for the tour or the service or whatever he's on, you know, that's so, I mean, it doesn't matter how fancy your coaches are or how nice our office is here, you know, it's basically the what that driver puts forward. And we've got a fabulous team of drivers. We've got a very, very small staff turnaround. The drivers that are there, some, believe it or not, have been here longer than myself. So as I said, you know, that's good for us as well. I mean, we're obviously doing something right when they're staying here. But I mean, I think that anybody that travels with us regularly will agree that, you know, we've got a great bunch of lads and lassies driving for us. And as I said, that, to be honest, is what I put as the key number one thing that we have.
James, if you weren't the owner of a successful business, what do you think you'd be doing with your life?
That's a good question. What I call it, when I was at school, I loved the idea of being a pilot. I'd actually done a few lessons, and I always had great interest in law as well. At that time, you know, I wasn't sure, I suppose, if you were going to come into the business or not, and those were the two areas that I was looking into.
Were you ever tempted to go back and pursue them further? Are you tempted to go back?
Well,
further?
You know, probably not. You know, I, you know, I'm constantly doing courses and, you know, doing stuff to try and, I suppose, keep myself up to date on everything that's going on and as things change. But, you'd never know. Maybe when in later years, when I have nothing else to do. But at the moment, I think my hands are pretty much tied up. Unless we go and buy a cruise ship, maybe, or something.
What advice would James McGinley give his 21-year-old self?
I suppose to grab the moment. I mean, when you're 21 years of age, you think that you know that life will go on and on. You don't realize, you know, you talk to older people and people that you thought that were old at the time, and that you're realizing now we're only young ones at the time. I suppose grab the minute and, you know, leave nothing behind. If you have a dream or if there's something that you're go for it, I mean, opportunities only come your way every now and then. And, you know, as I said, I've grasped as many of them. I've let the odd one go as well, to be honest, which I suppose in the early days. But certainly as an advice to 21-year-old would be to grab everything that comes your way and you know, chance it, as I said, as it was maybe being too optimistic, but if unless you try it, you'll never know. And as I said, if you do fail in anything, just get back up and go again, because you know, there's whenever there's one door closing, you know, there's always two more opening somewhere else. So you know, we always have to be optimistic and look forward properly.
And finally, James, as we prepare for a much anticipated reopening of society over the coming weeks, what does the future hold for yourself and your business?
Ah, well, as I said, I'm looking forward to yet, as I said, you know. But I think, you know, if we've learned anything out of COVID, I mean, you know, this is, I suppose, a terrible thing to say, but I've actually enjoyed the time of period that we've had, the free time that we had. I've spent much more time with family. You know, I've done stuff that I never done, and you know, I suppose my own goal is that I never go back to the way that things were. I suppose that I can try and keep the balance right. You know, that's what I'm hoping for. But I'm looking forward. I mean, I'm excited about the future, excited about getting back to normal and you know, coming into work in this building every day, I suppose, is going to be great as well.
James Beginley, owner of Beginley Travel Group, thanks for joining us on Business Matters.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, that's it for this edition of Business Matters. Thanks to my guests, James McGinley and Michael Tunney. Thanks to Kenneth Wilson on sound. And thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the programme, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETPs for their education and training service, supporting essential communication and customer service skills for a more sustainable business.